That's not going to make the cut.
Okay. let's try something else. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
We could just bleep out all the stuff I said and just keep in your laughter.
Okay. It'll just be like a chuckle lead-in.
Or I'll just cut all mine out. It'll just be you laughing nonsensically for 12 minutes. That'd be good.
Yeah, I think people would enjoy that.
Hello and welcome to episode 323 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Still snowing.
No.
All the time.
You're kidding me.
It's ridiculous. It
snows. I thought that was fake news.
No, it's still real. It's mid-March, and it snows here a lot.
It's early March, to be fair.
No, it's the 9th of March on this recording, so... And there's snow in the forecast. Don't get me wrong. It's not really, like it's behind us. No, there's still snow in the forecast, so... I'm done. I'm done with it. Snow, to snow. I hate you, and stay away from me.
This is upsetting. I'm not even there, and I got to tell you, I'm not even experiencing the Schadenfreude that you'd think I would.
Right.
I feel bad for you guys.
Places that it's supposed to snow, it's stopped snowing and it's nice. Here, not supposed to snow, and still snowing.
I've seen pictures from Grouse Mountain, like the last day or two. It looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. If you're a skier or a snowboarder, then you're probably in heaven right now.
Would be good. We tend to podcast whenever my kids' friends are getting picked up from our house.
Yeah, no, that's how you know it's podcasting time.
That's how you can hear in the background a lot of kindergarten chatter
It sounds like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Pass the smashed potatoes.
I will give thanks when they leave. Why don't you get on out of here?
Cranberry sauce, please.
Yeah, that's not a thing here.
Okay.
There's no cranberries. We're having kind of weather. So I think it's you're having it worse, I'll be honest with you. I'm like you. Like once you hit March, that's the month that spring shows up in.
Yeah.
We're 12 days away, roughly, from March. You should not be having snow, buddy.
Yeah, we usually go to Vernon. Actually, we had planned to go to Vernon for part of spring break, leaving tomorrow. And we canceled the trip because we're not going to drive the Coquihalla. They got last night. The Coquihalla is, I think we've mentioned it on podcast before, but for those that are new to the show, it's kind of a main highway that connects the interior of British Columbia with the coast. And there's kind of a mountain pass. There's elevation, so it does.
It's pretty high. Yeah,
it's pretty high elevation, so it does get snow up at the peak. But usually by this time of year, it's clear sailing. You might see some snow, on the sides of the roads at this time of year. But
that
you're not,
hangs around, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to see icy winter conditions. They got 26 centimeters of snow on parts of the Coquihalla last night. Just last night. We're not talking about what was already there. So, we canceled our trip. And that was unfortunate, but we're gonna push it back and try to take it when the weather warms up a little bit and those roads aren't so treacherous.
Yeah, I'm ready for spring. Like that's the thing is, like, baseball's here. We're working out in the gym. We're starting to hit in the cage. We put our batting cage up, as you'll find out later in the show. And we started hitting outside, but it's just like the weather's still cold, so we're just not there yet. But I don't know, like you guys, just itching for that spring to show up.
Yeah.
On the other hand, what else comes along with spring?
Flowers?
Cleaning.
Oh, I'm not a part of that.
I'm not jazzed about that part. I got a bunch of stuff in the backyard that I've been waiting to do. And my excuse of, the weather has not been good is only going to hold up for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, looking forward to that. Did you shoot anything interesting?
No.
Just say no. Yes. You got to start shooting interesting things, man.
I know, but when it's
you know our show's about,
from
right?
November, yeah. When the weather is from November until March, it's the same. And I've got winter photos. I don't need any more winter photos. Mm. So I'm kind of done with winter photos. But I guarantee, you know, when spring shows up, and I'm hoping that soon there will be some photos. Now this is spring break for my kids, and my wife shows up starting next week. So there's 2 weeks of the kids and my wife being off, and a bunch of fun activities that will likely go along with that break. So there will be some fun family photos. I'm guessing, I'm hoping, in the next 2 weeks. But as of right now, the last little while been a little bit of a photo rut for me because the weather. Yeah,
I hear you. We're dealing with that here too, and I thought about it today. I was just kind of sitting around at lunch, and we had some nice light coming in, nice window light, and I thought, I haven't had my just the classic with the 85 on it. I haven't had it out in a while. I mean, like in this situation, and just really nice light on my daughter. I said, oh, I'm just going to snap some photos. I haven't done this in a long time, and not that I don't have those photos, but now that you know they get bigger, my kids.
Right.
I don't know how yours do it, but. Mine are growing.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, geez, I better shoot some, you know, or what? Or get kicked out of the dad class? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Probably not. Probably okay.
Strongly reprimanded, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I started thinking about that, and it kind of got me to thinking that, yeah, you know, once the nice weather comes around, I'm going to shoot a lot more of these kind of things, I hope.
But I'm noticing in the Dropbox that you did shoot a bunch of different things. So I kind of dialed it back, seeing that you were going to be like a super interesting photo guy this week.
I wouldn't use the word super.
Okay, moderately interesting.
Nor interesting. Nor
okay,
interesting.
Moderately. I don't have another word for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Adequate.
Okay.
My adequacity is strong. Okay, who can yell the loudest? All right, wonderful. My son was out with a little bit of bike riding. Once the weather broke, we went outside and he's you know riding his bike again. He's tried it a little bit last year, but then over the winter, nothing, right?
Yeah.
And so he went out and he's still at the point like you know mom has to kind of hold or dad has to hold the seat, and then kind of let him go for a little bit, and then crash.
Yeah.
But so I managed to get what I thought was a great expression on his face, like from the moment that mom let go of the seat.
Yeah.
And so that's why I shared that one.
Yeah, it's a good photo. I like it. Have a photo of Sarah, a similar photo again with Lisa looking down on Sarah when she's learning to ride a bike too. That's again, it's kind of a nice photo to have. The funny thing is the street and where he took this again, reminds me a lot of just out front of where our house is and where I take photos. So yeah, it reminds me a lot of a photo I have of Lisa. But yeah, great expression and just that nice kind of moment. So good shot.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, the weather was, you can see it's kind of overcast and not a lot of colors. I mean, this time of year, it's just, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't really necessarily about the conditions and the wonderful light and everything like that. I mean, with the overcast light, you get that nice soft light.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a second, buddy. Hey, come on in here. Come up and say hello to everybody. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay, now say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now go. Cheers. All right. We got to get better security around here.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, this one was all about the expression. This was the 70-200 on the 5D Classic. And what's kind of nice, you know, when shooting the street like this, like you can get way down and rack it right out to 200 mils and just kind of lose that background and keep the focus on the expression.
Yeah.
Which is what I recommend people do. So I think this was right at F4 at 200 mils. And use the servo mode to make sure I got focus as he rode his bike.
Okay.
What else do we do? A little more. Oh, shot. Just like a really quick photo. We're having our baseball team. It's a whole organization, right? So it's, you know, we have a baseball team, softball team, a bunch of kids teams, a whole bunch, like 8 or 9 teams under one umbrella. So we're having a like a little fundraiser night, like a pub night at a new place in town here. And so it's a brand new thing. We haven't done it before. And so I said, well, yeah, I'll come down and I just want to shoot a quick photo at the at Mike's. The place is called Mike's. You know, solid German name.
Right.
Mike. So anyway, I said, well, just impromptu, I said, I'll zip down, you know, phone a couple of the guys and say, hey, phone a couple of the girls from the softball team and meet us down there and snap this photo. And so you can see, pretty simple, but kicker is I did it in, you know, under 2 minutes, start to finish.
Nice.
I just didn't have time. I just was like, it was, okay, great, guys, I'll meet you down there, run in. Pop the umbrella up, just one umbrella, kind of up above the camera and slightly camera left.
Yeah.
Just enough to kind of throw it on them and then let, you know, partial ambient, but also the flash is lighting up a little bit of the background too.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of mixing it in there through a quarter CTO on there to warm up the skin tones a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, the lighting in there, kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The green from the Mike's Urban Pub sign, which I wanted to include. I wanted to include the Mike's sign in there.
Yeah.
To make it part of, like, 'cause I had an idea to put the text around, right? Like, this was all designed around throwing some text up, which I'll include the text version as well. And so you can see I use the at Mike's Pub. I wanted to kind of bring that right in. You know.
Yeah, clever. It's good. I like it. My only the only thing I noticed about the photo was that, I mean, obviously it sounds like you did this all pretty quickly, but the girl in the middle is just everything from a posing standpoint is wrong is wrong with her. Her hair over the shirt, whereas the other two look so much more natural and posed. Her hair is covering the hawks, and it's not that big of a deal, except for she's dead center of the frame. Mm-hmm. If one of the ones on the outside had their hair kind of in the way of the hawks, then it really wouldn't matter, but she's the center focus. And then
true,
her hands are so, like, she's so uncomfortable. like so, you know, you know people in photos that are uncomfortable, and she is so uncomfortable. She literally has both hands and fists clenched on the table. So, I mean, again, you know, I'm sure with an extra 5 more minutes, those are things that you probably would have actually seen and said, either just drop your hands off the table, mm-hmm, and brush your hair back, and you would have been able to hide probably her level of discomfort in taking this photo, because her face and her expression is fine. It's just the body language is just so wrong.
That's a good point. And I think I snapped three photos in total, like once I got them over there. And so I think she might have been a little more relaxed in one of the other ones, but then three of the other people weren't.
Right.
So yeah, in this situation, when you only get a couple of shots at it,
yeah,
you kind of pick the best. And this was kind of the Clarence on the left. He normally has a big, giant smile, big, toothy smile, like really, you know, really happy guy. But in that photo, there's three other people who just weren't looking right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Like you say, you take the best of what you got. But I just think from a standpoint of people, like, as far as a tip goes, when they're taking group photos,
don't have me do it.
Well, no, I just think, like, first, like, work from the middle out, right? You can hide the people on the outside, right? So, I mean, that, and again, I think that this is something that you just comes with repetitions and practices, that when we're in a rush, I do the exact same thing. I don't pay attention to a lot of this stuff until afterwards, and I go, durr!
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of, it's too late now. Like, now you got to deal with what you've got. But just in terms of looking at it as a bystander, looking at it, I'm like, you know what? If that girl was anywhere else, then I really don't think that I would notice or pay attention or care. It's just that she's dead center, and that's where my eyes go. And again, I'm giving this as a tip for myself as well, is that really we should be thinking from the middle out, because the girls on the outside, like, they look so comfortable and natural, and they look like, okay, done this before, right? I wouldn't have even thought that necessarily you got the two that were from the baseball team. They were just like hired hands, because they look like they know what they're doing here. But then, yeah, the one on the middle, it just doesn't fit. Now, again, this is a poster after for a beer night. So you're not, it's not the end all be all. It's not going to, I hope it's not going on the front of a magazine or something.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So whatever, like, you know, you sort of learn from it and move on. But that's the one takeaway I thought when I looked at this is
more.
Okay. Well, if you've got more,
there's more things that rub me. One is, I mean, in terms of the lighting, I wanted.
Oh no.
No.
Oh no.
Mom's home.
Okay. iPhone 7.
Hold on. I got to actually pause the show. Hang on. Keep rolling. Okay. You there?
Yeah. Sam have a glass jaw?
No. My daughter's friend just walked face first into our glass door.
Oh.
Bleeding nose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's not the first person. She's about the third person to do that.
That means it's squeaky clean.
I think my wife just cleaned it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyways, all right. Well, that's part of it. No, there's a few things I didn't like about the interruptions in this episode. No, but this photo is the lighting is a mess. But I wanted to kind of do is I wanted to keep some of the ambient light from outside. Now, normally you'd actually shoot this a little bit tighter, right? Like you'd kind of crop it off. But I knew I needed a lot of text to go over the image. So I wanted to have a lot of real estate around where I could put all the relevant text, which you can see here.
Right.
As such, you might not have kept the outside windows, but I kind of wanted to do that to show the airy, you know, the open style of the restaurant. But then the mic's sign itself was actually a little bit too bright, like just physically. And so for me, to try to expose that properly, brought the ambient too far down so that even if I threw enough light on them, it wouldn't fill the background enough. Like I needed more lights, which is just more time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I didn't love, I don't love the exit door behind the girl in the middle and the pole. So I kind of wanted to have the tall guy, Alex, stand in front of the pole a little bit to block it somewhat. But that was the best place to take it because that's what the sign was.
Yeah. No, so, I have no issues with any of those things. I think it's totally fine.
Yeah. It's reasonable. The B in pub is got a little reflection from the umbrella in it. So it's all little nitpicky things.
But I think you're nitpicking it way too much. I don't think that's any of those are issues. Like again, for what this is and what you're trying to convey, I think it does the gets the message across perfectly well. And how much time are you going to invest in this? And I think the answer is you invested the right amount of time. And
the bulk of this isn't necessary. I mean, this will be published besides here, but like, you know, we will put it out on the Facebook and the Instagram for our team and that, but like the general audience for this are members of the club to let them know,
right.
Hey,
yeah,
we're doing this. Tell your friends, sell some tickets. This isn't necessarily the you know, the front page of what we're going to do. But if I was going to shoot this for the front page of a magazine, these are all things I would take a look at and say, all right, we're not going to shoot it right here. We get rid of that door, this, and this. It'd take me 6 hours.
Yeah.
And so 2 minutes, the return on investment was more than enough. I was happy with it. And we'll see if we sell out enough tickets. That's the plan.
Okay. And if not, it's because that your girl in the middle looks too angry.
I'll have a talk with her.
Yeah.
Not her fault. And no, actually, one last thing. And normally, I would actually put Alex in the middle because being the tallest guy, being tallest by a lot.
Right.
Like, he's not standing on anything. He's just a tall dude.
Yeah.
Clarence, not as tall. And so, but because of, you know, obviously the colors here, we have, you know, three girls, two guys. You have to stagger it that way, and then you have the blue and the maroon. So you kind of want to have that. So nothing you could do. So Alex is on the right hand side.
Yeah, gotcha.
So there's that. All right. And last photo, we did some product shots because hopefully by the time this airs on the Monday, we'll have our site up. We're selling T-shirts. So if you want to support the Tubing and Hawks, or more so importantly, if you want to have a cool shirt that nobody else has. You can buy one.
Have you already gone to print with these?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure I should bring up my comment then.
Bring it up. I want to hear it.
This is a family show though.
Okay.
You're in your photo. So this is a photo of you.
Correct.
With the white background and the purple shirt. my feedback is, and I don't even know if you're aware of this, but my first glance at this was, your hands in your pockets with your thumbs are pointing directly to your groin area.
Well, now I can't unsee it.
Which is kind of funny and like something that your teammates should make fun of you for. So,
oh, their pictures were way worse.
Yeah. It's kind of like, hey, check this out.
Oh, I never even thought of that. You know what I did? I don't know how to shoot. I don't know how to shoot like t-shirt photos. So what would you do? Like if you're gonna look at not that part.
Yeah,
I'm not defending myself because you're right. That looks hilarious. You know what?
It's subtle, but really not subtle at the same time.
Who has two thumbs and is wildly inappropriate? Yeah. If you were to shoot like a quote unquote model, a t-shirt shot, where would you go? What would be your first thing you Googled?
T-shirt photos.
Hashtag thumbs. No, you go to the Gap.
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
the Gap.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so every photo or most photos had the guys with their hands in their pockets like this. Like not, I don't put my hands in my pockets like this.
Right.
I don't think I do.
Okay.
Generally, I just, you know, I stuff my hands in my pockets like the whole fist, right? And then, or not at all.
Right.
And so, but that didn't look right. And so I went and Googled it, and the guys are all kind of doing this move. So I thought, oh, yeah, great. Now I know what they're doing at the Gap. Wow. I'm going to crop that out. Buy a t-shirt.
Awesome.
I thought you were going to rip my design. Like, I designed the t-shirts myself.
No, I like the design. I like it. I just thought it was funny. I was like, my first thought was, is he kidding? Like,
no, now I am. Evidently.
No one else will notice.
And this was actually specifically shot for the show because we have two different color t-shirts and a polo shirt, as you can see in the other photo, the Mike's Pub photo, we have the polo shirts. And so in the actual selling stuff, version, I'm in the polo shirt because
right.
You know I'm the substitute teacher of the group, and yeah. and so this was specifically shot just for our listeners to see the shirt, and also to get a good laugh.
Yeah,
evidently. But yeah. This shirt was very controversial. Like I had to twist arms to make this because we're selling this at the ballpark. We're selling it online. Like this is gonna be our official shirt, official Hawks merchandise. Wildly controversial.
You should put your phone number on this ad, and then you should see how many phone calls you get.
I'm not going to. I will use it on my my Grindr profile. I don't even know what that is.
I know it's a thing. I'm sure it's a thing.
Yeah, but if you look at the shirt, hard to tell in this version. Plus, you don't speak German. The very top line says "Eigentum der."
Okay,
which is German for property of.
Okay,
Tübingen Hawks. Property of the Tübingen Hawks. That's what it means.
Yeah.
But in North America, that's wildly popular. Property of Vancouver Canucks, New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Oh, they freaked out when they saw it here.
Why?
The executive. I don't know. It's just not done in Germany, but I forced them to do it. I said, no, we're going to sell some t-shirts. It's kind of a cool thing. Trust me. So they did. We're fine now.
Okay.
But just for the people at home. Doing the translation, that translates to property of the Tübingen Hawks Baseball Club.
All right, it's nice. I like it. Good design.
All right, I'll send you one. You're getting one.
Sure.
Next time I'm in town, anyways.
The best would be if you made a version where on the bottom of the shirt it had two thumbs pointing directly down.
I'll felt pen those in for you.
Okay.
Yeah, no question. All right, enough with the thumbs.
Okay, sorry.
That's it. Jeez. Way to soil it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Photo challenge this week.
Yes.
Was simple. Just do something simple. What's your son doing that's so simple? Is he Googling the Rubik's Cube? Is that simple?
Yeah, no, he's looking at your photo online.
Yeah, in disgust.
Yeah. No, he's listening to music.
What's he listen to?
Good question. He has his songs.
He has his songs. Oh, okay. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, he has this. I don't know exactly. If you heard the soundtrack of the new movie, I think it's upcoming out on video soon. It's Sing, where all the animals, like, they have a big singing contest.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's very good. We went to see it in the theater, and it's a really, really fun movie, and the music is poppy and good, and he's listening, I believe, to the soundtrack of that movie, so.
Okay.
Yeah, enjoy. He likes stuff with a beat, usually. He's
okay.
Yeah, he's kind of a hip-hopster.
He'll cut a rug?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, for the photo, you know, he had the my phone and his and some headphones on, and then I thought, all right, I'm just going to take a photo of this. This is a simple photo, because when the challenge came up, I really did not know what to do with that. This has been the most perplexing challenge that I can remember, because when you just say take a simple photo, what does that mean? Does that mean
we talked about it last week for like an hour and a half?
I know, and I still walked away going, I don't really know what that means. Do I take a picture?
Oh, no.
Do I take a picture of a banana on the counter? Like, is that simple? Like, what constitutes simple? And then there's the difference between simple and then just like nothing. If I take a picture of an apple on the counter, to me, it's like, all right, well, is that a cop out? Because really, that's not a photo. Like, I mean, it's not a photo to me. It's not a photo I'd ever take. It's not a photo that I would ever care about. And so
now, it's not good.
No, it's not. So it's not anything. So then I thought, okay, well, what's simple and something? And so again, when I saw him listening to the music, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to make this is simple and I'm going to make it something. And the only thing I added here was I added the sunglasses, because I kind of thought I'm going to make him look like, you know, a DJ here. Like he wears the headphones off and in this kind of manner where the band is kind of around the back. And I thought, looks like a bit of a DJ. I'm going to throw the sunglasses on. And then I had just one light in the softbox. And I thought, well,
was it gridded?
It was gridded. And I thought, well, if I throw the grid on there, it's going to look cool. Like I thought it was going to look sort of DJ techno-ish. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So I don't know whether it's simple or not. To me, it was simple, but it's borderline. Again, I there's a few things going on here, so I don't know if it really would qualify as completely simple, but I think you get the message. Headphones, iPod or phone or whatever you want to make of that.
What room of the house was this taken in?
It's taken in the playroom. This is his new spot.
Your new studio.
Yeah, he loves the playroom, and it's unobstructed. It's easy to take photos in, and my photo gear is stored in a cupboard across from the playroom. So I saw this happening, and I was like, all right, done, simple. Got the light stand out and just took the shot.
But there's other things in the playroom. There's toys and whatnot.
But not on one whole side of the walls.
Right,
I've left it, clear. So
okay, but it exists in that room. There's other stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of other stuff, yeah.
That's the point, though. Like, there is all that stuff, and yet you chose to frame him to make it very simple. So, yes, it is simple because you chose to eliminate all the other distractions in that room.
Right.
To me, it's funny you mention this because I also struggled with this because I thought the same. I was like, I felt compelled to go wildly simple. Like, so simple, you would be like, you would say, wow, like, you achieved simple, man. And that was a little bit, you know, I had to recalibrate my expectations.
Okay.
Because I felt the same. I thought, you know, what's it going to be? It was never a banana per se, but you know, an apple did feature, like, you know, in my thought process. A car, maybe one of my son's toy cars, and then I thought, that's not a thing,
right?
You know, like, that's not good. And then, unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst, I did it on purpose. So it was beknownst. I was going through pictures for the rest of the show, like stuff to pick out, and I saw this one. Let's finish up with yours first. Actually, I like it. I like the sort of directional soft light. Like it's not super hard, but it's not soft either.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what was the distance of the softbox? It couldn't have been too close.
No, it's maybe like, I don't know, like 3 feet above his head.
Okay.
So it's, at that it's distance, almost directly overhead and just a little bit feathered in front of him, yeah.
Right. So you're still, and I guess with the grid, you're going to keep it off the back wall and then...
Yeah, that was kind of the...
Somewhat.
Yeah.
I like it. Again, very, very simple. Probably didn't take you very long.
No, it didn't take long at all.
But the choice, like what did take you long was the years of learning how to frame this in a simple fashion. You know, because you could have easily early on made the mistake of, you know, having a poster in the background or some toys or toy chest or a cupboard or whatnot. So just the very specific choice of where to put him or shoot or where to put the camera so that background appears is kind of what makes this photo simple.
And as far as a takeaway for me, and maybe again a tip for those at home, because as I finished with this photo, I sort of, you know, noticed something that I've noticed in photos before, but never really kind of, you know, did in a calculated manner, which is my son has really long eyelashes, right? As mm-hmm. do, you know, lots of kids and adults. It's really a nice feature that I don't take advantage of all the time or most of the time. And so when someone has really long eyelashes like Jack does, like having them look down and having their eyes looking down at something really accentuates the eyelashes. Uh-huh. So I just, again, when I looked at the photo, I'm like, I really like what this does, even though, you know, most of the time I have my subjects look at the camera. When you notice that about a subject, or, you know, for example, if someone's done up by a makeup artist and they've really kind of played up the eyelashes, take a few photos where they're looking down at something or where their eyes might be closed and bring attention to that feature, because I think it's something that the client will really like.
True.
Especially if they've taken that time, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can, you know, identify with that too, because I have really long eyebrows.
Okay.
So I like to accentuate those. No, I say eyebrows.
Like feather them up.
They go right up into my hairline. Yeah.
Well, mine would if I had a hairline.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. I say eyebrows. I just have the one right across. That's okay. Just dig it. What can you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a look at mine. So I was struggling all week to go and shoot something. And then today, I was going to shoot it today. The day we record, I was going to spend some time and just sit down and do this. And was going through photos, the other stuff that I shot to talk about early on, and came across this photo in the batting cage that I had taken earlier in the week. I took after we issued the challenge, but I didn't specifically take it to be simple.
Okay.
And yet, it occurred to me that despite the fact that, well, you tell me, I mean, is it simple or is it not?
Yeah, it's very simple.
It does. It really had every indication that it would not be simple. Like, it is... The conditions here, like, it's wildly distracting. Because this is inside the batting cage. I'm actually outside the batting cage, but I'm on such a low... I think it's right at f1.8 on the 85 mil that you can see in his legs, you can see a little bit of the black.
Right, yeah.
But I'm shooting through the mesh. It just mostly disappears at that aperture.
And because there's mesh on the other side of him, your brain just kind of more or less... just forgets about it because you see that mesh on the other side.
Right. And so in behind him is all the mesh, and, you know, and there's like, if you were just, you know, tilt down at his feet, there's going to be baseballs everywhere because we're just, you know, you're just pumping baseballs in the batting cage. In behind us is that's our outfield fence. That's our right field fence with the warning track there, and our park's in behind. And there's just a ton of distractions, especially at this time of year when, you know, the grass is still kind of you know, not a great color, not a great, everything hasn't really grown in yet. Spring isn't here. The trees are kind of boring. It's just kind of muddy and just kind of a mess. And there's just a lot going on. There's other, to my right and to my left, there's, you know, other guys waiting to hit. There's bats and balls and, you know, donuts, like for the cops. For the cops who are coming, yeah. But those are all kicking around, pine tar, just like just stuff scattered. But I chose on purpose to shoot this and eliminate all that and just focus on him getting ready to hit.
Right.
So that's what I believe makes it simple. And just didn't like this. This is just kind of high overcast with a little bit of sun peeking through. So we get like a little bit of kind of a little bit of hard light on him, but enough fill to fill in the rest.
Right. No, I think it's exactly what a simple photo is. And you did all those things, like you say, unconsciously, mm-hmm. or I guess semi-consciously, because you're conscious, right?
Yeah.
But that's all stuff that's operating in the background that you're just thinking about all the time, which is how do you just simplify, right? Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't for the challenge, but that's just how you operate now, which is, again, I think the way we should all think.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, because if you look at this, there's no confusion as to where he is. I don't need to do a nice wide shot and show the guy, you know, behind the L screen throwing batting practice to know that he's taking batting practice.
Right.
Your mind makes that leap all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I chose it. That's why it occurred to me. And it wasn't even being lazy. Like, I was prepared to go out and shoot something specific for this and then thought, no, this is a way better example of what we're trying to achieve here. So there you go. All right. Topic this week. Thumbs. No. Where to put them.
Yeah. Posing thumbs. Not opposing. Just,
not opposable
just,
thumbs.
Just posing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. No, we talked a little while ago about doing, talking about the spotlight effect, because you shot the Rubik's Cube a couple weeks back.
Right.
And in sort of a semi or probably a spotlight effect.
Yep.
And we wanted to talk a little bit more about how to do that.
Okay.
How do you do that? What elements are? I wrote some notes if you don't know where to start.
How about you start with a dark room or a dark, it doesn't have to be a room, a dark environment.
True. I mean, well,
or at
yes
least you
got
to be able to knock down the ambient light
there
enough.
You go.
Yeah. So a situation where you can really control the ambient light, and then you're going to probably need to bring in some external light, whether it's continuous light or whether it's a flash. But you're going to need to bring in a source, an external source of light, so that you can create this spotlight effect.
Okay, so first step is own a flash. I mean, we talk about other light, but really to do a really good spotlight effect, I mean, you can do it in the dark with a flashlight, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's an app on your iPhone that will create a spotlight. I don't know. Google it. Spotlightapp.com.
Sure.
But let's talk about how to do it with a flash, because that's how we do it. Now, first off, if you have just your basic on-camera flash that you're taking off-camera, but like your basic strobe, what is it designed to do? What's the basic
thing a flash is designed for?
I will tell you. It's basically designed to just huck light everywhere.
I was going to say spray it everywhere.
It is, yeah. It is essentially the sawed-off shotgun of lights.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just fires it everywhere. And we don't want that. We kind of want the rifle thing. You know, we want the
sniper.
The snipers, right.
Sure.
Right. Is this appropriate? I don't know.
Well, this is the thumbs episode, so.
Yeah, this was not all going in the trash bin anyway. Oh, why is this week's episode only 5 minutes? We had to cut some stuff. Yeah, most of it happens. So what we want to do is we want to focus that light. So you can't eat your basic flash just hucks light every which way, very uncontrolled. So step one. What is your first step to controlling that?
I missed the question. Controlling to, what?
Well, the flash on its own just fires light in every direction.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But there's so something very simple out of the box with almost every flash that you get now.
You can zoom it.
Zoom it in.
Yeah.
Now your flash is designed to do that, and it's kind of like a little bit not. Perfectly, but essentially like a Fresnel, like in a movie light, they use something called Fresnels generally, which are like those big giant lights that they have like a I call 5K a giant light, but they go much bigger than that now. But they basically have a focusing element in front, like a lens, like, and then that you can, you know, have a wide throw or just like a, you know, a narrow spot. You can do that.
Okay.
That's kind of what your flash is doing. If you look, you look inside when you zoom it, you know. So that's going to automatically focus your beam of light into a much narrower pattern, and that's important because you not only do you want to corral it, when you do corral it like that, you actually get a lot more pop for your flash too, which is kind of nice,
right?
Because it's all, rather than spreading it out, it's all, you can imagine it's like when you put your finger over the end of the hose. Same, yeah. Water comes out, just wow, you can spray that far. You were a kid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. So I still do it. Only because I'm too lazy to go get the squirter for the hose.
Okay.
So that's step one, zoom your flash. Now, like, what does that mean? Well, if you have an older flash, like a, let's see, I bought a Nikon SB28, like I have a couple of, you can zoom it down to what they say is 85 mils.
Okay.
Which basically corresponds to the field of view of your 85 mil lens, essentially. If you have the what do I have, 580 EX2, that one I think will zoom all the way to 105.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think the newer flashes. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I think that's the same as the 430 EX2 is 105. Yeah.
Right. And then the whatever the, some of the newer flashes will go to like 200 mils. Like, so that really focuses it down and you get a lot of pop, a lot of control. You're still going to get some spill though, because the essentially like the front of the flash is still right up front there, hence the name front of the flash. But the front of the where the light is, it just kind of it's still going to spill out the sides, and that's really going to get away from your take away from your spotlight effect. Step two.
Yes.
No, like you're saying, what's step two?
Oh,
to corralling that light,
black foamy thing or a piece of cardboard, something to basically snoot the flash with.
Snoot is the way. Yeah, snoot's what we're looking for, and that is basically just a long tube, which is going to sort of further.
Pringles can works great.
Pringles can
empty preferably.
Yeah. any cardboard that, like I made mine. That's one thing you're doing, you know, this time of year when it's snowing in April, and you're stuck inside the house crying, go ahead. And you know, while you're watching the, I don't know, Canucks finish 15th. What do you watch? What do you watch on the TV, by the way?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah, me neither. But anyway,
I'm starting to watch Grapefruit League baseball.
Yeah, just begging for some sunshine.
Yeah,
So if you're sitting around doing that, go ahead and make yourself some snoots. Like I highly recommend it. It takes very little resources. Just a cardboard cereal box, any cardboard you have kicking around. I prefer black duct tape and a little bit of Velcro you can get from the Velcro store, velcro.com.
Sure.
Very handy to have. And now just go ahead and cut them. This is a great little move to have kicking around the house, is just make a bunch of these in different lengths for different reasons. And they cost you zero. So,
okay.
So I have one specifically for this effect, which is very long. I'm going to go ahead and say it is 19 feet long. I might be exaggerating. I'm not okay. Sure. No, right. It's probably, I don't know, foot and a half?
Sure.
Like, maybe not. Maybe a foot. Probably a foot.
I'm going to say about a foot, yeah.
Sure, it's about a foot long. And it's really good for this one thing because it really focuses the light down to a narrow beam. And that's what we want. So longer means tighter spot.
Okay.
What's the next step to doing this? What are we looking for? Like, what are we talking about shooting? Like, we're talking about shooting small objects like
Rubik's cubes,
like a Rubik's cube, or yeah. Hot Wheels cars. Like, for next week's challenge, which is going to be spotlight, obviously. I'm going to shoot a Hot Wheels car or two. I don't know.
Okay.
Could be more than one, but that I will shoot something small like that. So next step is for me is to wisely select your background / floor, like not just behind your object, but under as well. Like, what is the whole background going to be?
Okay.
Why would that be important?
Because that's the flash is going to hit that surface, and so it's going to reflect light and really show up in your image.
It is. So if you want to shoot on a white, you know, like a white table or something like that, you can still cut the rest of the light, because the idea in making the spotlight effect is to basically get the rest of the image to drop off to black,
right?
Hence the spotlight, like you would see like a singer on a stage or something like that. That's what we want to do.
Black construction paper can work well.
That's a great thing. Like, so black is going to work great because you know in the image itself, like right around your subject, depending on where you place the light, you're still going to see. It's still going to light it up, but it's going to be very, very sharp edge. And so the spill isn't going to go off. Black especially isn't going to reflect up.
Right.
Whereas white might reflect up. Now, it might be a good thing. It might actually bounce onto your subject and not a whole lot into the rest of the image. You might get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's times I have shot that. In fact, I might even do it this time. We'll see.
I think you've done it in your bathtub before, right?
That was not a spotlight effect, but that was more of a soft light.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe not.
No, that was a Stomper 4x4.
Sure, okay. That sounds familiar.
And that was 100% soft, just a sort of a makeshift
seamless
cyclorama, yeah. Which is kind of fun, but in this case, not going to do that. Okay. We want to focus that light. So your base, the floor of your image and your background are wildly important to, not as much the background, because ideally, and this is what you alluded to earlier, and by alluded, I mean just came out and said, you want to knock the ambient down. There's no point in having a spotlight effect if all your ambient bleeds in and just fills in the image. That's not a thing.
Right.
So first step after you got all this assembled is get into a position where you knock the ambient down. Now, oftentimes that will mean to kill all the ambient light, shoot in a very dark place. But let's say you're shooting, you know, just inside and on a kind of a cloudy day and there's no direct sunshine coming in. At ISO 100 f11 and 1/160th of a second,
yeah,
you're probably going to kill all the ambient light.
Yeah.
And thus, your entire light will come from your flash, even though you can still see, which is going to help you focus anyways. So however you need to do it, cut down the ambient light to zero so you have a black image, and then reintroduce the shot, the light, the flash.
Then you probably won't need very much flash power either.
At that point, no. You're going to have to shoot at f11 anyways, because even at, like let's say with the SB28, we'll go to 1/64th power. Now the 580 EX2 will go to 1/128, so it'll cut it even in half even again. But at 1/64th on full zoom, you are going to have a lot of light.
Yeah.
And so you're going to need to get to an f11 anyways, or use an ND filter, but likely just f11 is going to do you just fine. The other thing with that is, now here's where you're going to have a lot of light. If you want to contain that spotlight effect, you want to get the light, not even the light so much, but the end of the snoot, the business end where the light's coming out, you want to get that as close to the object as you can, which means just out of frame. As close as you can get it without being in frame is where you want it, because that's really going to limit the spotlight effect. From this point on, that's how you're going to control the size of that spot. If it's too small, raise the flash up. I'm talking about like over top. If you're shooting straight down over top, which is kind of how I imagine the spotlight effect working. Did I assume there? Is that how you were doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. That's how I would do it.
Now I'm shooting. The reason I do that is because I, as part of the compositional elements of that image, I like to have my object sitting directly in the center of that spotlight.
Okay.
Whereas if you're to have it off to the side, it might actually look cool. You'll have this. It won't sit, you know, in the center. You'll have it like the spotlight effect will kind of go off to one side or behind or in front or wherever you have your light positioned.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like being centered, balanced, and the uniformity is kind of a big deal to me. I should be more flexible, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm going to totally do it differently.
Yeah, I'm just going to do a softbox image. Forget it. But that's how you will control the size of your spot is the distance from your subject.
Right.
Or distance from the bottom, essentially. And so that's where you have a ton of flexibility in something like this. After that, it comes down to me. I mean, that's how you achieve the spotlight effect. Now, what you're going to notice with the snoot, depending on how you've made your snoot, what are you going to notice?
With where the light falls? I'm not sure. I'm not sure the question.
Okay, let's say we use the snoots that I use versus the Pringles box.
Okay, the shape.
The shape's going to be very important. Pringles box is likely to give you, I won't say it's going to be perfectly round because you still have a rectangular flash, but it should be a lot more rounded than, say, like the rectangular snoots that I typically use.
Right.
Because for most things, I don't really care. I'm not seeing that square, but in this situation, I am. So that is going to be, you know, that's going to dictate the shape of your spotlight. So if you want round, shoot with a round snoot.
Okay.
that's the plan. Or maybe I'll experiment and put like a little like a ring around my assess. I've said too much. Yeah, I'll keep it quiet.
Okay.
So that's how you achieve that effect. Now, how you shoot it, you know, what angle, that'll be entirely up to you. That's subjective. But we now have the spotlight effect. Any questions?
No, I think it's very straightforward.
Okay. And the good news is that at 1/64th, man, you can just keep popping that flash over and over and over again at, you know, with lightning rapidity, and it's not gonna, you're not gonna have a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, I'll probably, you know, play around with the angles and, you know, distance from the subject and sort of, you know, just sort of see what I get, because this is the sort of thing that I do once in a while. It doesn't come up all that often, but I usually like the results when I use it. So
yeah, I don't do it more than say 5 times a day. Generally, like, get my kids. Hey, lay down here. I'm just gonna spotlight you. Yeah, no, it doesn't come up, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know. And one of the things I'm going to go ahead and put out there, one of the challenges I always kind of find is that any dust you have is going to show up. Like if you have dust on the basically the floor or whatever surface you're shooting on.
Yeah,
it's
we saw that in the Rubik's Cube photo that I took a few weeks back.
Right.
Is that I really liked the image, but that was the one shortcoming is the. I got lazy and I shot it on the top of like a little ottoman that is leather and has some scratches on it. Well, those become glaringly obvious when you do this. Yeah.
Yes. So pay attention to that. And same with, you know, if you're shooting, you know, your son's car, it's going to have some dust on it and it really shows up. So that's something to pay attention to. I'll have a look this time if I shoot a car. P.S. Okay. I am totally shooting a car.
Okay.
So there's that. All right, so challenge next week is going to be spotlight. That's the plan. Meanwhile, the monthly challenge is still shallow depth of field.
Okay.
Go ahead and post those on Instagram with the hashtag two hosers monthly challenge, and we'll see them. I've seen if there's been a few already showing up. So,
all right.
If you do it, here's the main reason to do it is if you put the hashtag on there, I will like your photo.
Praise from you and maybe me.
I don't know if it's praise. I mean, if I'm saying I'm automatically going to like your photo, I don't know if that's necessarily praise. I do like them.
Fake praise.
It's praise nonetheless. So you want to, if you want to challenge me, you go ahead and snap a photo with the lens cap on, upload that, hashtag it #2holzersmonthlychallenge. I will still like it.
Wow.
That's how committed
we are. That's how discerning you are.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure if you sold that or not.
I think I'm sending the wrong message now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I'm only gonna like it if I like it.
Yeah, in fact, I'm gonna unlike a whole bunch of stuff right now. Hang on. Great. No, but definitely participate. That's the whole goal here, is to get everybody to participate. And that is shallow depth of field. Websites, Adam. Do you like websites?
I do. Okay. Especially like adamschwartz.ca.
Yeah.
I go there almost once a week or once a month and update things all the time. Yeah.
I have not in a while.
Yeah, me either. So I think that's coming. But
it's a good sign. It's a good sign. People who update their websites constantly either have so much money they pay someone to do it or they're not busy.
Right.
That happens. So if you see a photographer who's not a rich guy and he's constantly updating his website, he's not working that much.
Good point.
Yeah. Judge him.
All right. Your
Lock
stuff.
Him. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links. Like Amazon, which we never even talked about, despite the fact that I wrote it down and then skipped over it.
Okay.
But if you're listening to the show and you want to help us out, you can do that by clicking on our website and then the Amazon links and going about your day, your normal Amazon day, and that helps us out. Also, I will post a link. Now, I'm not telling anybody, hey, please support us, the Tubing and Hawks, by buying a shirt, but we have had inquiries in the past about from listeners who would like to buy one and haven't been able to, and so to rectify that, we are making them available. So if you do want one, I will put the link up by Monday, so you'll find that link on Two Hosers as well.
And if you do get a shirt, for any of those listeners out there that get a shirt, feel free to take a photo of yourself with your hands in your pockets and send it to us, because that would be awesome. Like, you know, a little bit of one-upsmanship in the thumb department.
Yeah, if you can get a third thumb, that'll be the one-upsman part.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe Uma Thurman from Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. That'll be nice.
Okay.
Okay, that was a deep cut.
Yeah, I got it, though.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a big Uma Thurman fan, though, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it? Is everything on there? I think we're Instagram, good. Yeah, all sure. The deals. All right, that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.